The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
In this edition of the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk, you'll hear the latest radio news and Davey Lloyd's radio moments as usual. But we're devoting most of the show to a tribute to one of British radio's best-loved presenters and managers. Here's Radio Today's Stuart Clarkson.
Yeah, incredibly sad news this week as we learned of the passing of one of radio's best-known presenters from over the last 25, 30 years, Simon Nix. Nixie was just 44. He died on Monday after a brave battle with cancer just a few months after being diagnosed. And he just earlier this year started a new job at BFBS. In recent years, he'd been a programmer at Hallam and Star Cambridge. And on the air, the stations he worked at, the list goes on and on. Atlantic 252, Galaxy, Key 103, City Talk, Gadio, GWR Network. Really, it's like a directory of every radio station ever in the UK and beyond. So in a moment, we're going to hear from two of his best friends as they share their memories of his life on the air. First, here's just a tiny sample of how Nixie entertained the nation.
Right in the middle of another long wave of non-stop hits, New Order's Blue Monday, Whitney Houston. Just had a little baby. Ah, oh, I'm Every Woman on the Way, and this is R.E.M. Great new song, Sidewinder Sleep Tonight, at Long Wave Radio, Atlantic 252. Long Wave Radio, Atlantic 252. On the way, we've got Annie Lennox, her new song, Great Little Bird, and People Pack It to Love You More, and Brian Adams, Can't Stop This Thing We Started. Hello, this is Simon Nix. I'm calling you from Long Wave Radio, Atlantic 252.
I haven't been listening this hour.
I've got a £1,000 Midland Bank live cash call. Who am I talking to?
Mr. Garcia.
What's your first name?
Alison.
Alison. Can you tell me the phrase that pays?
I listen to Long Wave Radio Atlantic 252.
Well, you know that, Alison. Now, can you tell me this hour's live cash total? It's £1,000 and amount of pennies.
I'd have a guess. 48?
No, not 58. Sorry, Alison, it's 10p this time.
Oh, what a shame.
I'll tell you what, I'll put your name into a draw for a CD player.
All right, thanks a lot, then.
Again, keep listening at 5 past the hour for another live cash total at Long Wave Radio Atlantic 252.
We're just busy making up, counting the votes for the Hot 10 at 10 tonight. You know, it's the big, big songs, and we're turning into a chart presenter.
Yeah, we're turning into DJs. We've got one of those big levers they have to pull. And here's another one. Great song, mate.
Oh, it's Saturday Night Live with Nixie Mel special extended version tonight. It's cool to be Kev as well.
Yeah, we have had some absolutely brilliant phone calls tonight, and thank you to everyone who is called Kevin. You know, we haven't really been ripping the mickey out of you, but you know, it's cool to be Kev now. We've decided tonight's the night.
It's like good-hearted banter.
Absolutely.
Some of them were sad though.
It's really? All a laugh, isn't really? It, eh?
Oh no, she's turned into bimbo mode again. It's getting near 10 o'clock. That's what it is.
Ow.
Saturday Night Live. Good morning, I'm Nixie. In 30 minutes non-stop for the first working day of the week. Have a yawn, have a stretch. And Lee and Two Times on the way after Praz, Ghetto Superstar.
Galaxy. Galaxy. The new mix for the North East. Galaxy. Galaxy 105 and 106.
You know, you see and you hear everywhere about things being year 2000 compliant, like to say computers are all going to blow up when we get to the year 2000. Well, we're going to try and see if Galaxy 105 and 106 is year 2000 compliant. What I mean is, I want you to tell me what you do and don't want to hear on the radio for the new millennium.
97.4 Rock FM, Usher and OMG. It's 12 minutes past 8. Tuesday morning, GCSE results day. It's Nixie here for Graham this week. Jude's playing with her pen. That's a sign of nerves when you're playing your pen.
Well, there you go.
There we are. It's good to see in the newspaper today, actually, that even good-looking people have arguments in relationships. There's Cristiano Ronaldo and his very pretty girlfriend. Makes me sick looking at good-looking couples. However, they're arguing and they're fighting.
Oh,
is that spiteful?
She's probably trying to get her lipstick back off him.
Good morning. Music on the way in a moment from Robbie Williams and Lady Gaga. Poker Face on 103.4, on digital and online. This is Heart. It's 8 o'clock.
Joanne Lowe has Heart News Update.
The man in charge of public protection for Wrexham County.
Another afternoon here on Gaydio. I'm Nixie. Of course, we've got people listening all over the country to this radio station, but we are based in Manchester, and we were right in the middle of everything that was going on last night. How will this affect Manchester Pride? Only a couple of weeks away from the big festival at Bank Holiday weekend. Jackie Crozier is the festival director. Hello, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Nick. Are you okay?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm glad I'm all in one piece.
Oh, absolutely. What a night it was for Manchester. Well, greater Manchester.
It was bad. Very, very bad. Particularly in the city centre, where I just couldn't believe, to be honest, the police lost control of this city. The city was not run by the authorities last night. It was run by these idiots.
Number one for the Northeast, this is TFM. A very good afternoon. It's Nixie with you, looking after you, playing the tunes, having fun. And I've got some new music for you now. This is great. Turn it up loud. Sigala, John Newman, Give Me Your Love on TFM.
The new sound to your morning. Nixie in the morning. Starts Monday. Nixie in the
morning, oh yeah. Just got one of those faces that you just really want to slap. There we are.
Wow, just a tiny fraction of Nixie behind the mic, as hundreds of thousands of people will remember him. So let's talk to a couple of his closest friends in radio. Dominic Walker and Joanne Lowe are with us on the Radio Today programme. I know it's been a really tough week for you guys. How are you feeling at the moment?
It's been really tough, like you say, Stuart. I mean, you know, I met Nixie first when I worked with him at Q103, but, you know, he became one of my closest friends. I would class him as one of my best friends. We got on tremendously well. You know, he was, you know, adopted uncle to my children. You know, we were always in touch, even though we didn't work together all the time. We constantly were in touch and in each other's lives. And it's been really, really tough. He'll be missed a lot. Of all the people I've worked with, I've worked at a lot of stations. I've worked with a lot of people. I've co-presented with a lot of great people. He was by far the best for me. Just an amazing, amazing broadcaster. You know, he could do it all. He could do the music stuff. He could do the speech stuff. He moved into speech, and he was very good at it. Not just the light-hearted stuff, but he could tackle the serious topics. He was an intelligent man. He knew about politics. He knew about life. He cared. And not only that, but he had a really, really amazing way with the listeners, with people who called up. He could make a friend, you know, in the click of a finger, just by chatting to someone.
I think we heard that in some of the, even the early stuff from the kind of early 90s when he was on Atlantic 252 talking to the callers there. Dom, it was Key 103 as well where you first met Nixie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same as Joe. There's, you know, I was saying to my partner today, there's this horrible feeling inside, this sort of feeling of loss, really, because Nixie, you know, best friend, but actually a part of the family as well. I mean, he spent a Christmas with us, but yeah, it was at Key 103 when I met him. And I think Joe would probably agree with me if I said that Nixie was an absolute perfectionist.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first time I ever met him, I was actually covering his show. And normally you get a handover note of, you know, a couple of bullet points and that's it. Nixie must have sent me 4 or 5 pages of everything, how you do this, how you do that, when this should be done, when that should be done. And of course, before I met Nixie, I'd listened to him on the radio. So there's this kind of feeling of, you know, this guy's brilliant. He sounds, you know, superb on the radio. He sent me this document. And you know, you do feel not intimidated because he's such a warm character, but a little bit nervous about meeting him and working with him. But I'll always remember the very, very first link on Key 103. So I'm nervous. I walk into the building. I'm sat in the studio. I'm trying to take everything in. And Nixie just opens the mic and says, well, put a pair of headphones on. So I put the headphones on. And he starts talking to me. And I'm thinking, oh, I've only just walked into the studio. And he says to me, so where are you from, Dominic? I said, Warrington. He said, ah, Warrington. I absolutely love Warrington. Yeah, I often go to Warrington. I love in particular the Cockheads Roundabout. Yeah, I always drive around the Cock Hedge roundabout. And you kind of think, how do you get away with saying that on the radio, Nixie?
He sailed close to the wind, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think that's why people loved him, because he knew just how far he could take it, you know. And, you know, you had to let him have that freedom. As his producer, you had to sit back and trust him, because he knew exactly what he was doing. You know, he knew exactly what he was doing in every single sense, with the content, with the production. He knew what he was doing, and you just had to let him do that because he could get away with it.
And Joe mentioned the politics before. I mean, what people probably wouldn't know is that Nixie had a massive interest in politics and also law as well. You know, Joe says you got to trust him to get on with it. He knew exactly where the law sat and what he could and what he couldn't do. And, you know, and that was part of why he just sounded so magnificent on the radio, was because he was edgy like that. And you just listen to him and think, I wish I could do that in the way that you do it. He was very proud of the fact that he'd interviewed three prime ministers, Tony Blair, Gordon Brown and David Cameron. I think it was Gordon Brown who he asked if he ever wore shorts. And, you know, who would ask that question apart from Nixie?
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're a busy man today. You've been all over Sky. I saw you were saying that you don't care what the government do. You've lost faith in them.
Well, I've always felt that for an opposition leader, what you've got to do is set out your own plans and convince people of your own merits and don't, you know, obviously we have to call the government to account and check up they've done what they said they'd do. But what really matters is saying how the Conservatives would do things differently. So I try and focus on that.
Now, obviously, we're here to talk about New Love FM. We've just launched today. And of course, Helen's there with you in London, in our London studio.
I am.
Hey, there we are. Helen's with you now. Now, you've been involved with Helen's story for quite a while. What is it that made you sort of personally get involved with this so much?
Well, obviously, when I heard about the murder of Gary and what she'd been through, it was the most appalling case. But her bravery...
He could speak to university professors, he could speak to scientists, he could speak to doctors, he could speak to the cleaner from down the road, he could speak to the woman who rang up because she'd lost a dog. He could speak to the young teenage boy who said he didn't want to live anymore. And we did. We did have those conversations with people. And, you know, we often got a lot of feedback from people who listened to that talk show that he did, saying, you know, how much they loved it, how much he was a friend to them while they were going about their business. And it was that he was a great conversationalist. He could find a connection in people, whether it be what they did for a living, where they worked, where they lived, anything. He could find that connection. And when he found that connection, he didn't use it. I don't mean the word use it, but that was his way of connecting with that person and sort of making them become his friend. And he genuinely liked talking to people. That's why he was so good at it, and he was fun to listen to.
Maybe another side that people didn't know to Nixie was how charitable he was. You know, he worked on Gaydio, that started off in Manchester, and then eventually became a national radio station. That's a community station. And Nixie worked on New Love FM as well, which was an RSL that came from Golden Square in Warrington. And he gave his time freely to that. And his expertise, he was involved in a lot of the setting up the technical stuff as well.
Yeah, and sort of production of the audio that went with that and, you know, all the stabs and the jingles and things like that. You know, basically, if his name was on the tin, he wanted it to be good. Mm. You know, he was that perfectionist. You know, and often he would sort of say to me, oh, just I'll do it myself, just get it here, you know, because I was sort of taking 5 years to do something that he could do in a nanosecond, which he can, because he just knew every element of it, you know, the technical side, everything, you know. He could be talking to someone while looking on the internet for information, while firing a clip in there from one hotkey, and then also looking for another bit of audio on the internet, on YouTube, and, you know, all this was going on at the same time. I could often just sit there and watch him and just think, how is he doing all that? I don't understand. I understand, but just how is this man doing it? It was just in him. It ran through his veins.
That's really a good point, because he absolutely lived for the radio. He loved the radio. He loved listening to the radio. He loved being a part of the radio. I can remember in particular, you know, with New Love FM, how he wanted it all to be content-driven. In fact, Nixie's kind of great philosophy on radio was that radio should be content-driven. I think he was of the view that you could listen to music on an iPod or on Spotify or anything, but actually, if you had somebody with real personality who was asking the questions that you wanted to know the answers to, or who was giving you a little bit of information. I mean, on the breakfast show, he used to say there had to be a new breakfast show every 15 minutes. That was his theory. He wanted to give people everything they needed to know to start the day. So he was a real content-driven broadcaster as well.
He was not a selfish broadcaster either, no. Stuart, and I think Dominic will agree. He had no fear I think some presenters and people in radio, and I'm sorry if I offend anyone, I don't mean to, can be quite guarded. I think that's just the nature of the job, you know, sort of, you know, my show or whatever. And I think, you know, people in the industry will recognise that, where I'm coming from with that. Completely, just, you know, guard down. You know, there was no kind of worry about anybody coming in and stealing his limelight or anything like that. You know, he was so selfless. You know, he'd open the mic, he'd let you speak. If you were taking something in a direction and sort of, you know, leading it somewhere, he'd let you go. He'd let you go with it. He wouldn't keep trying to stop you or rein you in. You know, and for me, it takes an extremely confident broadcaster to do that.
And those 25 years on the air doing just exactly what you've described set him in good stead for being a programmer, and he won some awards. And how was he the last few years when he wasn't necessarily on air on a big station as Nixie, but running things behind the scenes? How did he take to that?
He loved it, didn't he? He absolutely loved being a programmer. I mean, it was no surprise to me that Hallam FM won an award because, you know, as Joe says, he wasn't afraid to let people go with things. So I think he believed in letting his presenters have freedom to do what they wanted to do, to try and make content-driven radio. But, I mean, imagine having somebody like Nixie sat there and guiding you, you know. So he absolutely loved that. And I have to say that he was in particular looking forward to BFBS. He was going to be looking after some of the radio stations overseas and travelling to places like Cyprus and Germany and potentially even, you know, places like Afghanistan. And he was really, really looking forward to that and relishing taking some new ideas to BFBS as well.
I don't think it's wrong to say that he'd landed his dream job. He was so, so, so unbelievably happy about the job at BFBS, and even though only there for a short time, he spoke so highly of the people there that they welcomed him in really, you know, really warmly, welcomed him into the community. They were excited about having him, you know, and I can remember sitting in the car and having like a 40-minute chat with him about, you know, you could just tell he was full of plans and full of ideas, and it's a shame we'll never get to hear, you know, what he would have done with that, because I've no doubt it would have been amazing.
But he said the team at BFBS were brilliant. I mean, of course, Nixie being the perfectionist that Nixie is, before he even got to BFBS, he'd listened to every bit of audio. He knew who everybody was. He'd listened to everything. And he just said that the team are so talented. And I can remember as well that when he went for that job interview, he had a friend who I think was in the RAF. And he'd got some information from his friend, and I think a photo of his friend with one of the military planes. And that, again, just highlights just what a perfectionist, you know, who goes to those lengths to research exactly what he's doing to make sure that he, you know, he knows exactly what he's talking about for an interview to get a job like that. It was really incredible.
And I know both of you got lots of happy memories of Nixie. Is there one that kind of sticks out that just makes you laugh with fits of giggles about the moment?
Do you know what, honestly, Stuart, and I'm sorry if it's a bit of a rubbish answer, but it's an honest one. I couldn't pinpoint one. I couldn't. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, I absolutely loved him to pieces. We used to spend 4 hours a night in a studio together, you know, just having laughs and having fun. Just a complete joy. Just a great, outstanding person.
Nixie and I used to live together. We were housemates. And, I mean, Nixie was an absolutely outstanding cook, you know. You felt like you were in a restaurant whenever Nixie cooked. But I always remember one particular night, he must have cooked something nice for dessert. And the ice cream van just came at around about the right time. And he went out to the ice cream van just to get a little bit of ice cream and came back with masses of ice cream. And I was like, why have you got so much ice cream? We don't need that. And he just said, oh, the ice cream man recognised my voice. He used to love listening to me on Galaxy. And he always loved the name Mr. Creamy Top.
Bet he did.
I used to send him photos. If I saw Mr. Creamy Top at a local
childish, almost schoolboy sense of humour, he would have himself in fits of giggles over the most, honestly, the most sort of like pure
Mr. Creamy Top.
Like, oh, get a grip, come on.
But at the same time, quite sensitive. What do you think he would make of some of the tributes from friends and colleagues that they've been this week?
I think he'd be chuffed a bit. I think he would be humbled. I think he'd obviously be happy. He'd be overwhelmed. I think he'd probably be a little bit surprised as well because, you know, although he got on with everyone, you know, he may not have, you know, really thought you know, the level of you know, the outpouring of affection and love has just been so big, hasn't it? I think he'd be so happy and very humbled by it.
That was Joe Lowe and Dominic Walker talking to Stu Clarkson about Nixie, who died this week way too soon. From the team here at Radio Today and everyone across the industry, our thoughts and condolences go out to Nixie's friends and family and colleagues in what's been a really difficult week for them. After this, Stuart's back with the latest news.
Broadcast by Onyx. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. Elsewhere this week, Katie Hopkins has parted company with LBC. Her departure came just days after a backlash against the presenter for her tweets and opinions following the terror attack on the Manchester Arena. She's been doing shows for the Global Station for the last couple of years. The radio festival has been rescheduled for the 21st of June. It was postponed following the Manchester bomb. Colin Murray will host at the British Library as previously planned. Anyone with tickets can go on the new date, but get in touch with the Radio Academy if you can't now make it. TalkSport has signed a deal with the English Football League to broadcast commentaries for the next 3 years. It means TalkSport and TalkSport 2 will have more live English football matches than 5 live next season, and more than 500 in total, including all 4 domestic leagues, cup, European and international fixtures. It's the first major rights deal for Wireless Group since it was bought by News UK last September. Radio X in Exeter has gone on DAB for the first time. It's joined the now digital Exeter and Torbay and North Devon multiplexes. The station's been on FM for the last 5 years. BBC Radio Newcastle's announced that Anna Foster is staying on breakfast at the station with Alfie Joey. Anna's been covering while Charlie Charlton's been on maternity leave. Charlie is coming back to do the 4 till 5.30 drive time slot Monday to Wednesday with John Hall. He'll do it on his own on Thursdays and Fridays, and Lisa Shaw will carry on in Anna's old mid-morning slot. And stations around the country have celebrated Local Radio Day, an initiative set up by the UKRD group. Among the highlights was a workplace quiz between staff from Spirit FM and their BBC local radio service at BBC Sussex. Tommy Boyd hosted the show, which was broadcast by both stations, and Spirit FM won the quiz, by the way. That's it for this week. There's lots more radio news from around the industry at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. Time for some radio moments with David Lloyd.
This week last year saw the first UK Local Radio Day.
Good morning. It's exactly 8 o'clock. This is BBC Sussex on the very first Local Radio Day, Friday the 26th of May.
Local Radio Day. I think local radio plays a really vital role in local communities. It's so often the best source to know what's going on in local communities, not just local news, but also things like traffic, community events, charitable causes, and generally to play a part in supporting the community.
The first Local Radio Day celebrating the partnership that exists between radio stations and their listeners, and it happened again this year on the 26th of May. Here's a biggie. Test match special is 60.
Right bowled. The middle stamps out of the ground. England have won. They've won by 18 runs. Willis runs around punching the air. The boys invade the ground and the players run helter-skelter for the pavilion.
Now we have Tufnell, and he's moving it and bowling to McGrath, who hits it in the air towards mid-off, and the catch is taken. England have won the match. McGrath is out. What a stunning victory.
Test match special born this week in 1957. The slogan for the programme in the Radio Times was, "Don't miss a ball, we broadcast them all." It was on the third programme, Radio 3, and in 1994 went to long wave. It's 10 years this week since Greg James's first show on Radio 1, the day after he graduated.
Hello, my name's Greg, and I'm the presenter of Early Breakfast on Radio 1. I'm the new boy here, I'm 21 years old, and I always dreamed about working at Radio 1. Now, I've got to give some advice. Now, I think the best bit of advice, if you have got a dream job that you want to do one day, best bit of advice I've got for you is to never give up on it, on that dream. Don't let anyone tell you can't do it, because that's absolute rubbish.
Greg James. Now, one great radio idea the other week was Radio 4's live dawn chorus. And Birdsong has been heard on the radio before, of course. The Classic FM test transmissions were recorded in the garden of its chief engineer, Quentin Howard.
Birdsong.
and a Birdsong channel later appeared on DAB. That stopped this week 8 years ago, replaced by Amazing Radio. Earlier this year, we lost Brian Matthew twice, as it turned out, and it was 60 years ago this week that he saw his first major break on the Light programme.
We present Saturday Skiffle Club. This is Brian Matthews saying, come right on in. Limping along after a perilous escape from his wild fans, his Johnny Duncan and his Bluegrass Boys.
Brian Matthew with an early Saturday Skiffle Club, on which he debuted this week in 1957. Now, a farming soap opera probably didn't sound a particularly interesting idea when this pilot series of The Archers aired this week 67 years ago.
They were brilliant writers. They really were. Well, now, they gave me their expertise and I fed them the farming material. And they taught me how to use this basic material. And the first thing they taught me, they said, look, not too many characters, 8 a maximum. Of course, you can have as many others as you like, but they must only be props and scenery to be woven in and out as required. A father or a mother figure, or both at least. Young lovers, adult lovers, a comedy character, and somebody to hate.
Godfrey Baisley, the early Archers producer. The series launched this week in 1950, and as it went national 6 months later, Wimbledon Farm had become Brookfield, and Ambridge had moved to Borchester. It's 13 years since Foxy presented his last Hit 40 UK after 11 years. The programme had begun life with a different sponsor.
The Pepsi Network Chart Update.
What a week for British music and Elton John. An Outstanding Contribution Brit Award and a new entry. And Madonna's highest new entry also becomes her 29th UK Hot 5 hit. Today at 4, live across the UK.
Foxy, who ended his Hit 40 this week in 2004. Red Rose Radio in Lancashire split this week 27 years ago, and Rock FM was born.
It's Friday, June 1st, 1990. It's 8 o'clock across the Northwest, and this is the new Red Rose Rock FM.
Best rock, best talk. Rock FM.
Rock FM on air this week in 1990, and its oldies service launched on AM. But the UK's first oldies AM service began this week in 1988. It was called County Sound Gold, and they were none too pleased when Capital Gold later followed.
Gold Service Radio, Capital Radio, ripped off our name, the bastards.
Happy birthday to the original Gold. So with the death of Desert Island Discs founder Roy Plumley 32 years ago.
I used to judge at the amateur talent competition on Thursday night and then record a half-hour show.
Andrew Gilligan's famous Iraq dossier two-way on Radio 4 14 years ago.
The government probably knew that that 45-minute figure was wrong.
And pirate radio Such, launched by Screaming Lord Such from Shivering Sands Towers 53 years ago.
You're tuned to Radio Such, yes.
Yes, those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and special credits this week to Stu Clarkson for his feature on Nixie and to aircheckdownloads.com for some of the featured clips. Next time, there's another round table. Do join me for that if you can. This has been a TDC production. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.